Today is November 29th, 2012. We welcome you back to the First Seder program and the Tamei HaMitzvah Shir. And all right, so yesterday we had the whole discussion about the Chinuch, and we discussed the different aspects of the Chinuch's explanation for the reasons behind Mila. We talked about the emphasizing the difference between the comings and goings of basically the culture of Jewish people versus non-Jewish people, people keeping the Torah versus people not keeping the Torah. We also discussed this concept of Hashem leaving us the ability to physically perfect our bodies in order to teach us that while we not only can we perfect our external body, we could actually perfect our inner soul, which is the most important purpose of us being here in this world. And we ended by mentioning that we could learn from our surroundings. There was a rabbi here recently, Rabbi Glazer, and Rabbi Glazer, Rabbi Naftali Glazer is a he's a rav in Haifa, and he mentioned he was here by Rabbi Bieberfeld's house. He made an Onyek Shabbos, and he mentioned a beautiful thought, and that is, we speak about menucha. Shabbos is a yom menucha. What is menucha?
Rest.
We typically understand rest as, okay. But the real truth is that there's two different types of rest. There's menuchas ha-nefesh and menuchas ha-guf, we say in davening, yes? So menuchas ha-nefesh, menuchas ha-guf, we understand, that's the rest that we understand when you're stagnant. Yeah, you're in a, fetal position and, basically horizontal. Okay, so that's menuchas ha-guf. Menuchas ha-nefesh, he says, is just the opposite. What brings your neshama menucha? Sometimes a person could be doing something and he's so gratified to be doing that thing that he feels at peace with himself. Now, he could be running. Sometimes running really brings peace of mind, right? But you're more active physically than you've been in years, and yet that brings you peace of mind. And the answer is very simply, that's menuchas ha-nefesh. When you're nefesh, your soul has menucha. It's a different kind of menucha. It doesn't depict physical stagnation or physical resting, right? I once spoke to a fellow who was married to a woman for 10 years, and this woman was in and out of hospitals. She had a terrible disease. She ended up dying from the disease. And when she passed away, he said, you know, it's amazing how for the last 10 years I've been running around like a madman to hospitals trying to do everything I can for my wife. And now she's not here, and I'm left with none of that inconvenience. And yet, I'm depressed. And while I was with her doing all that, I was happy. That's an amazing person in general. I felt this person was a very special person. But the concept is that there's a menuchas ha-nefesh, which is having peace of mind, which is not necessarily to be equated with physical rest. Sometimes we need physical rest to get peace of mind, but often it's not necessarily that way. And he brought a very interesting proof to that. First of all, he said in the pshat, in the pasuk, in Halal, is shuvi nafshi l'mnuchaychi. Yeah, return my soul to its rest. The nefesh, that's a nefesh. And he went on to explain the Halal in that regard, that it's not necessarily referring to physical rest. But he brought a proof. The proof that he brought is that the pasuk says, vayar Menucha kitayv, I believe it says that about Yisachar. Vayet shichmay lizbo. He sees that menucha is good, so he bends down his shoulder in order to receive a weight. He should bear a weight. He's talking about learning Torah, etc. He sees menucha is tov, and therefore he gets ready, braces himself to bear a weight. What does one thing have to do with the other? To the contrary. The answer is, we're talking about learning Torah, that is menuchas ha-nefesh. Ooh, menuchas ha-nefesh is a whole different concept. That's what we were talking about yesterday, that you could see from the world that our purpose in the world is to be a ben chayil, to be a warrior, to gird ourselves and to be a warrior, to be a gibor. But that brings Menuchas HaNefesh. In the end of days, we'll have Menuchas HaGuf also. But that's not for today. Excellent. Now, the last quote we have here is from the Ralbag. And he says a fascinating thing. He says, the Vihine, Hamila Machleshes Koyach Zeh Ever. Hamila weakens this component of the body. And that is the last paragraph on this page. And that we have seen earlier. Oh, Kamosha Zohar Rav Amayra, like he mentions, the Rambam says. Vizeh Etzlila Shtei Sibais. This is for two reasons. One is the Dam, She Yishbach Mimenu. One is because physically there's a weakening as far as there's blood that comes out of you. You're causing a surgery. You're causing some trauma, some physiological trauma to the body. V'hashenis ki hakisui hazeh. This extra skin to this component, meisif chayim be'ivrahu. It causes an increase of warmth in this component. And what does that do? It brings a person, it drives a person to temptations if it's not used properly. So what do we do? The mitzvah is specifically Hashem says let's create a covenant between you and me. So why does it have to be in this way? So we had many explanations as to why it is in this component, and we understand because it's the continuity of the person, and it's also the component of the body that represents the greatest temptations. That's great. But here he's teaching us an unbelievable thing. We have here the concept of a Yetzer Hara. And we'll see, I'll mention this now, but there's an Abarbanel. The Abarbanel writes that, interestingly, this component of the body is the only component of the body that is not needed for the protection of the human being. Even your eyes, your ears, your hands, it's not for the protection nor for the convenience of the person. It's only for the specific purpose of procreation. That being the case, it's sort of an extraneous component to the body. But what's the message? The message of removing this skin, which causes an enhancement of these activities, is, it would seem, from what he's saying, the Ralbag, that this is a message, this is a the key to conquering the Yetzer Hara of these temptations. You know what the key is? The key is prevention. You have to work in advance to guard yourself, prevent yourself. If you leave the skin on, it will bring greater tendency towards these things. So it will increase your Yetzer Hara. How do you protect yourself? Asu siyog la teira. Make a fence around the teira. You have to work in advance. This is not something that's easy, but the message is for this Yetzirah, and really for all of Yetziraharas, the only way to battle these Yetziraharas is to take precautions. You have to take precautions, and that's the beauty of the mitzvahs, the halachas of yichud, the beauty of the halachas of Arayas, is that the Rebbeinu Shalom teaches us you're human and you're subject to failures, and recognize that. The world out there, they pride themselves arrogantly and mistakenly that they're the honorable among us, they're not subject to Yetzer Hara, they're not subject to temptations. They'll act honorably, have faith, you know, everything will be fine. But they don't take the precautions. They don't realize that in, as the Chazal say, bechadrei chadarim, in the room of rooms, in situations which are, which lend themselves to inappropriate activity, the Yetzer Hara grabs you and you, and we'll see in a moment that the antidote that we Jews have, they don't even have. So the most important thing that they could do is take precautions. And that's the beauty of the midst of the halachas of Yichud. I want to tell you a fascinating story I just heard very recently. We mentioned this fellow, Rabbi Motel Pogromansky. Was a big, so we mentioned him back, Parshas Vayera. He survived the war. He was a genius of all geniuses. He was the Rebbe, one of the Rabbeim of Rabbi Mordechai Gifter. We had mentioned at Dvar Torah from Mordechai Gifter that I heard from him in the name of Ramota Bagramansky. But in any case, after the war, he suffered from terrible stomach ailments, and he was very, very ill, and he had to have surgery, and terrible. We mentioned the story that they didn't have anesthesia. He said, no problem, give me a Gemara. Yeah. He was in the home of Mrs. Recha Sternbuch, who was very famous. She was in Switzerland. She was very well known for activities of saving Klal Yisrael during the times of the war. And after the war, she recognized the greatness of this man. So she tended to his medicinal needs, and she was like a nurse for him. She was in and out of the room doing things for him all the time. This was in her house. And he was there for several months. And, so every once in a while she would talk to him, she would say something to him. So one of the things he said to her was, he said, you know, Hashem gave me a special gift. He was very big, and he believed very much so in the philosophy that every talent, every ability that the Rebbe Hashem gave is another gift. It's not like an expectation that we have everything, and when he omits something, you know, I can't draw from my life, then you're upset. No, everything is a gift. So he says, I have one gift that was a tremendous gift that the Rebbe Hashem gave to me, among others, and that is that I could look at a person's face, and within a very short period of time, I could discern what this person is about. Their midas, what their background is, etc. I have a keen ability to look at a person in that way and see a lot from that. So she said, he was born with it, an intuition. So she said to him, Mrs. Sternbuch, who was a very special person in her own right, she said, well then, Rebbe, perhaps you could tell me what I'm about. And listen to what he answered. Are you ready? This is a man who was sick with tremendous ailments. He was in the home of this woman, but she was in and out of the room for months. He said, I'm sorry. I can't tell you what you're about because I haven't yet ever seen your face.
Wow.
Now, that's not a madrega. That's not a level for us. Halavai one day. But this is a man who was so guarded in his morals. He took every possible precaution. He wouldn't look at a woman straight in his face, even though he was sick and even though he was in that sort of situation. That was his precaution. And that's the message of Mila. The message of Mila is you have to take precaution. That's the only way you're going to conquer this Yetzer Hara. Fascinating story. There's not many people that one can say such a thing about, but it's a fascinating thing. Now, I don't believe that he wouldn't have, you know, when he was speaking to her, made eye contact, whatever, I need this, but he never, you know, gazed at her face. Okay, so.
It's like learning this week where Avraham and Sarah, he didn't recognize.
Yes, yes, exactly. He must have seen her face. He's not allowed to marry her unless he sees her. But he never, you know, focused on her face enough, which we call in Hebrew, there's the difference between re'ia, which is seeing, and there's histaklus, just the gate, right, to stare. The Shulchan Aruch says it's also listakel. It's also to, on the moon, it's also listakel on a married woman, a woman for the sake of gaining pleasure from her beauty. What does it mean? You can never make eye contact with a person. You could have a meeting, you could have millions of meetings, you could be in a workplace with a person and there's a difference with the way you speak and there's a difference the way you speak. There's a difference in how you act and how you, deal with her and so on. In this office right here, when we designed this office, I knew that my secretary would be a woman, right? Converse with her back and forth the whole day long. So what did I do? I made my desk facing this way and her desk facing that way. I don't have to look. But that's a precaution, right? Why put yourself in a position where you're tempted, right? Okay. Now, interestingly, there is, I just want to share with you, there is a pasuk right before Hashem gives the commandment to Avraham Avinu of, I'm going to try to wrap up Mila today. Right before Hashem gives the commandment to Avraham Avinu of Mila, he says these words, Hishaleich lefonai, go before me, means in my ways. The Hey Samim, and you should be complete. Now, a Tam, we know this from the Haggadah. The Tam is one of the four sons. He's a simpleton. Yeah. So the Beis HaLevi has a whole discussion about this. And he brings down the Ibn Ezra. The Ibn Ezra says in those words, you know what it means, Veheya Yisamim? This was the intro to the mitzvah of Mila. Hashem was saying, Loi Tishal Lama Mila. Don't ask why Mila. Now, we've just discussed this for the last four shiurim or so, three shiurim or so, we discussed the mitzvah of Mila. So what's going on? So the Beis HaLevi says a fascinating thing. He says that certainly within the realm of learning and understanding the mitzvah, absolutely. But when you actually do the mitzvah, you're not doing the mitzvah because of this reason or this reason or this reason. You want to know why Hashem gave us the mitzvah, you can do that. Questioning means, I'm about to do this action, why should I be doing it? No, you do it because Hashem said. Hey, someone, when you do the milah, it's tough. And to hear a baby cry, especially if you're a parent, a grandparent, whatever it might be, if you're a sensitive person, it's very, very difficult. It should be with absolute faith in the Rebbe. You want to explore and examine why the reasons by the mitzvah and the beauty by the mitzvah is a different story. You should do the mitzvah specifically. This mitzvah, it says, tamim. Very, very interesting. We have a pasuk later on in the Torah, it says, tamim tiyem Hashem aleikecha. In general, by all mitzvahs, by all things you do, but especially by this. And there's actually a pasuk we say on Shabbos. Adam uvehema taishia Hashem. A man and a behema, Hashem will help. Hashem will save, right? So the Medrash says, you know why Hashem saves us? Adam uvehema, when a man acts like a behema, it doesn't mean in an inferior way. It means to say the way we're drawn after the Rebbeinu Shalom, as an animal is drawn after his master or his food or whatever it is, like just kind of, you know, blindly. And we mentioned earlier that that's that concept in itself is not correct. It's only after you've proven how much Hashem loves you and how much wisdom there is in the Torah, and now you should be drawn after the Torah, even when you don't understand it, even when you don't recognize what is the beauty behind it. Interestingly, Avraham Avinu himself, it says in the Torah, Eile Toldeis Hashemayim Va'aretz B'yoyim Hibaram. I forget the exact lashon of the pasuk. All right, it's fine. It says Bihibaram, not B'yoyim Hibaram. Bihibaram. When he created it. And Rashi says there, Behei Baram. Created with the letter Hey, famous Chazal, that you can always do tshuva, fine. But that's not our discussion. The Medrash says that the Behi Baram is the same word letters as Be Avraham. In the Schus of Avraham, because Avraham Avinu was the person who had a very lackluster chinuch, if at best, and he turned himself around, he sort of recreated himself. So the Rebbeinu Shem created the world as a schus for that, obviously in advance. Okay. So now I want to share with you a fascinating Gemara in Nedarim. The Gemara says like this. Rami Bar Chama says, this is a Gemara in Nedarim, Daflam Beis Amid Beis. It says Avram, at times Avram is called Avram, and at times he's called Avraham. Later on he became Avraham. What changed? What changed from earlier when he was called Avram to later when he became Avraham? What was the symbol of that extra hey? Oh. So the Gemara says like this. Bitchila initially, Himlicha Yakadosh Baruch Hu Masayim V'Arboim U'Shloisha Ivarim. Initially, the Rebbeinu Shalom made him melech, in control. He was in control on 243 Ivarim. If you look at the word Avram without the hey, it's 243. And after he gave him the mitzvah of Mila, he gave him five more limbs, five more components that he became now master, he was able to master. What were those? Shtei Einayim, the two eyes, Shtei Oznayim, the two ears, Bereish HaGvia, and this component that we're dealing with that deals with procreation. So the Ran says a fascinating thing. The Ran is on the page there. The Ran says a fascinating thing. He says, what are so unique about these five components of the body that they're banded together? He says like this. Initially, the Rebbeinu Shleilam allowed him to master those components of his body that he was able to protect himself from Avera. But the interesting thing about the eyes, the ears, he doesn't mention the last component, which is interesting, but we'll see in a moment, is that a person is not necessarily in control of them entirely. You could block them. The Gemara says we have, you know, you could block what you, a filter that you, from what you let out, from your mouth, let's say, or what you let in. But your ears, you do have the lobe. The Gemara says that you could put, your fingers are shaped like a yosei, like a peg that you put it in. There are things that you could do. But when you're walking down the street, you're not expected to walk around like this, right? So we're looking at a situation where a person is subject to being fed with, against his will, with images, sensitivities, whatever it may be, stimuli, a whole day long of things that go in your ear and in your eyes that you cannot necessarily control. In fact, the fascinating, there's a famous vart. It says in Kriya Shema that lo yisosuru, you shouldn't follow achrei levavchem v'achrei einechem, not after your heart and not after your heart. Not after your heart and not after your eyes. So the question is like this. The Gemara says, halev chaymed, the heart desires, einayim rayes, your eyes see, and then the lev is chaymed. You see something and you say, I want that. And you have to process it, right? I see that. I like that. Nechmoda eitz lamachol. Yeah, okay. So first you see something, and then you desire it. You have to allow it in. And then. So the question is, why does it say, don't go after your heart and after your eyes? It's just the opposite. First you see something, and then you desire it. So there was a great gadol, I don't remember who said this vart. He said, you know what it's talking about? It's not talking about when you see the item and then desire it. It's talking about the second time you look. Don't go after your heart. The first time, that's not your fault. That was a challenge from Hashem. That's not your fault. But then you process it and you desire it. Don't go after your heart and then after your eyes when you look at it a second time. It's a beautiful pshat. In Yiddish, you used to say, the tzveite kuk. The second time you look. Beautiful vart. In any case, the Ran says here that this idea that the eyes and the ears are not fully in your control because you'll be inundated by these things against your will.
I remember one time, I guess it was in a magazine, a picture in Israel of two Frum boys they walk away towards the war as a group of female students are walking in this direction. Maybe about 20 girls. So the purpose of the picture is to show how they're avoiding. I'm saying myself, but the photographer is not avoiding.
Okay, I'll tell you an interesting story afterwards if we have time. I'll tell you a fascinating story about that. In any case, listen to what the Ran says. Ulu b'saif, when the Rabbeinu Shalom gave him the mitzvah of Milah, listen to this. Himlichay HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him mastery afilu al elu. You shouldn't look and hear. Ki im dvar mitzvah, only dvar mitzvah. And when I saw this, I could not believe my eyes. What is the Ran talking about? He just finished saying that these are against your will. What can you do? So you do the milah, very nice. And when you walk down the street, you're not going to be hit with all these things. It's not your choice. So I think herein lies a tremendous yesod, a tremendous idea that really we touched on before, which is that you have to take precautions. Listen to this very carefully. The Rambam says, the Ramatisyo, the Mashgiach Ramatisyo says this over all the time. The Rambam says like this, he's talking about the mitzvahs of the halachas of Yichud, and he writes about how people have to take precautions, and he says, and most of all, a person shouldn't be involved in schaik and frivolity and all sorts of things. Most of all, he says, Yisera mikol zayis amru, Chachamim said, you should involve yourself in Divrei Torah. Exactly what you people are doing. You have some spare time. Focus on Divrei Torah. Expand your mind in wisdom. Here it is. Unbelievable words. Because the thoughts of impropriety do not grow in a person. Don't overtake a person's mind. Ella believe panui menachachma. Only with a heart that is empty of wisdom. You hear what's going on? It doesn't mean wisdom, it means the wisdom of the Torah.
Yeah, right.
Listen to this carefully. The Rambam is saying, if you leave a vacuum, Hashem will say you need a challenge. But if you push yourself, This is the greatest precaution you can ever take. You push yourself to involve yourself in Torah and to cleanse yourself with the Torah. The Torah is Tahara. Yes? You do that, Hashem says, I don't need to test you. So that the things that come to you while you're there and it comes to you, it's a test from Hashem. It also must be, but the Mashgiach always says, it must be a reminder to you. You're getting these challenges, not your fault, and hopefully you'll overcome the challenges. It's a message. Hey, buddy, you're not using your mind properly. Get it. Get to it. Go learn some Torah. Cleanse yourself. In other words, these things, while it's true that at times they come involuntarily, they come against your will, but they're there, not Hashem wants to destroy you. The purpose is a message. Focus. Get back in line. I'm sending you this challenge so you should realize, hey, the Rambam says that they only come because my lave is empty. Get back to the Torah. Cleanse yourself. So you know what it means that he made a bris, according to this Rambam? You know what it means that he made a bris? Avraham Avinu made a bris, we can understand the Gemara and the Ran this way. He made a bris, and therefore Hashem said, now I'm going to give you mastery over it. You are going to master your Yetzirah by taking precautions, and as we explained, removing the skin is the greatest symbol of that. You're going to take precautions, you're going to avoid these situations in the first place, and learn Torah so you'll remain pure, etc. So you won't, I'll make sure that you'll be able to master it. And that's what the Gemara says in Sanhedrin elsewhere. Barazi Yetzirah, Barazi Torah Tavlin Lai. I created Yetzirah, I created the Torah, Yetzirah created the Torah as a way to counteract it. The Marsha has a little other spin on this, and he says what it means is these five midas are midas sichlius. These five components relate very much to the intellect rather than the physical. So he gave him, until now he had mastery over the physical, now he was able to master even over the spiritual. Now, there's a Sefer Tzitz Eliezer, Rabbi Eliezer Waldenberg, tremendous gadol, and he wrote many tshuvas, he wrote many responses about, especially about medical halacha, but many, many areas. And he brings down this Ramban, and he says, this Ran rather, and he says, when the Ran says, oh, now, then he had the Mila, Lebesayf, he had the Mila, Hashem gave him mastery over his eyes and ears. But what about the Reish HaGviya? What about it? He says, the Ran meant that too. And the point was that essentially, before the Mila, a person's not in control, i.e. Hashem will hit him with many challenges. After the Mila, and you make your commitment that this is what you want to be, this is what you want to do, you want to have this pact with the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, that you're going to pursue the service of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, Hashem says, I'm going to give you mastery over it. And you know what that means? Hashem will allow him to be Mizgaber al Yitzray, and Hashem will give the Yitzhara in his hand. And that's what it means. He gave him dominion over those five components, which are the three of the senses. Okay. Now the Yerushalmi, he brings down a Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says that Avram made his Yetzer Hara into Taif. He made his Yetzer Ra into Taif, into good. Why? Matzasas Levava. It says about Avram Avinu, U'matzasas Levava in Emelefanach. You found his heart to be loyal to you, which means he controlled himself enough with his Yetzer Hara that Hashem said, oh, this is the way you are. Now I will allow you to be in control of your Yetzer Hara. I'll give it to you in your hands. And this is what we were talking about till now. But then the Gemara points out, and that's why right afterwards it says, "V'charais imay habris." These words, "Matzasalav enemel vanecha," we say in davening, and right afterwards, "V'charais imay habris." He cut a bris. Imay, by the way, means with the Rebbeinu Shalom. Hashem held his hand to be able to do it together with him. Again, another sign that the Rebbeinu Shalom will help you conquer the Yetzirah. So the question is, it's not my fault. The answer is true. But if you do the right things in advance, Hashem will help you to put it into your power. And he ends off by saying, not only we can do these things of Torah, etc., but also Tefillah helps. To be mevakesh, to ask of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam that we should have, we should be able to master the Yetzer Hara. And tefillah is also a tremendous, tremendous help. These are all precautions. And again, I believe that this is all symbolic in the removal of that skin, is that Hashem says, I'm allowing you to perfect yourself in a way that you take a precaution. Oh, that's the key to all these yetzirahs, the truth, every yetzirah, but especially in this area. There are, just in conclusion, there are many chazals that speak about the greatness of the mitzvah of Mila. We have one very interesting one, is it says in the towards the end of the Devarim, it says, Mi yalon lanu hashamayma. The Torah is not far away. That person should say, Mi yalon lanu hashamayma, who's going to go up Shemayma? So what is something that is up in the heavens? If you look at the words, Mi yalon lanu hashamayma, what's the Rashi Tevot? Mi yalon lanu hashamayma, Mila.
Wow.
Beautiful. That's the Balaturim on those words. Now, the Gemara says, there's a pasuk that the Gemara in Shabbos says, there's a pasuk, Im laibrisi yaimam v'layla chukah shemayim v'aretz leisamti. If not for my bris, the day and night and all the celestial beings in the world would not remain. In other words, there is this bris. What's the bris? So there's a machlekes in the Gemara. One opinion is it's the Torah, and one opinion is it's bris mila. Just shows you. The pasuk says, if not for this, for my bris, which remains a little bit ambiguous, if not for my bris, all the celestial beings, the sun and the moon, etc., would not exist. Hmm. And one opinion in the Gemara is that it's actually bris mila. One opinion is the Torah that we understand. Hashem looked in the Torah, created the world. Fine. Another Chazal says like this: if not for dam bris, shemayim v'aretz would never exist. So the Ben Yayoda says this. He says, you know what shemayim was created with? Chav Beis Isis, the Gemara tells us. That's the letters of the alphabet. Aleph Beis is 22. And the Aretz was also created with 22. How much is that altogether? 44 is the gematria of Dam.
Wow.
Beautiful. There's another Gemara that says many times, the Gemara says, Shekein nichrusu olav yud gimel brises. The bris mila is so important because there were 13, really 13 covenants that were, okay? The Gemara says there, that Mila is as great as all the mitzvahs in the Torah. The 22 letters that were used to create the Shemayim, 22 letters that were used to create the Aretz, and that's why it says, Loi niskayim ilmalei dam bris, if not for the blood of the bris, loi niskayim u'shamayim v'aretz, because Hashem used the letter. It says, Estakel by Raisa bar Alma. The Torah is a blueprint. He looked in the Torah and he created the world. The world is a reflection of the needs of the people that keep the Torah. Yes? So he used the wisdom of the Torah to create the world. It means everything here is for a purpose, a Torah purpose. Even the negative things are there to, again, like sending us messages. It's a beautiful explanation to this. So he used the Gemara says this in several places, that the Rebbe Shalom used the letters of the Torah to create the world. Letters of the Torah.
Why is it
so it says, the words of the Gemara are, if not for the Dam Bris, why the significance of the Dam itself? We mentioned that earlier, it weakens a person. There's significance to that even beyond what we've said, obviously, but it was created with the merit of the Dam Bris. Because the whole purpose is for people, like we said, Bereshis, for the purpose of Reshis, which is fulfilling the Torah, for the purpose of Yisrael, right? So the Bris, the Dam Bris, represents the entire Torah, as we mentioned, and it represents the concept of giving of ourselves. We mentioned earlier that the Dam Bris is something that's like the carbon, it's the ultimate carbon. The beauty of that message is that the whole world was created for the sake of that commitment that we have. And this concludes our lesson about this mitzvah. We look forward, to further appreciating Bris every time we have an opportunity. And we also look forward to moving to the next.
The next
mitzvah is Gidan Rosh, I believe.
Oh,
yes?
Wow.
Okay. Yeah,